it's hard enough keeping the peace between friends sometimes. So how are we supposed to have peace with people we really don't like? Hey, I'm Dylan, and you're listening to Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Yesterday, we started with the first part in our two-day devotional, three friends on the march to battle to find unexpected peace. But in today's story, that peace is about to be shattered by an unwelcome guest. Let's continue with The Table, Part 2, by Zoe Brickner. "Why is there an empty seat?" Panji asked after swallowing a warm bite of soup. "Is someone else joining us?" Panji, Laz, and Sarah enjoyed the food laid out in front of them on the mysterious table in the middle of the darkness. The man's light still encircled them, and it even softened the sounds of the battle beyond. But Panji was right. There was an empty seat at the other end of the table, directly across from the man who had called them here. "As a matter of fact," he said, "I have invited someone else. My table is not yet complete." The three of them looked at each other, curious and concerned as to who could be coming. They hadn't encountered anyone else in the dark abyss. "Ah, here he is now." At the man's greeting, the three hurriedly turned around to see who is approaching and gasped. The crimson and gold cloak signified that the boy who approached was an enemy soldier. He looked right at the blue insignia on Laz's chest and paled. "Why is he here?" Sarah demanded. "He's part of the army that's attacking us." Their host looked at her, but moved forward to guide the late arrival to his seat next to Sarah and Laz. "Manuel, I'm so glad you came," he said. To the rest of them, he continued, "All are welcome at my table. My rest and blessings are available to anyone who seeks me." "But you don't know what he's done," Laz exclaimed as Panji scooted his chair away from his enemy. Manuel's face hardened at the rebuke, but he remained seated. "I know what you all have done," the man countered, "and still, I have invited you." Laz turned his head down, ashamed of his past. "But," the man continued, "here there is no guilt or fear, only love and mercy. Each of you heard me calling your name, urging you to be still in my presence and bringing you away from your wrongdoing and into my forgiveness." An awkward silence fell across the table. None of them knew how to respond. Sarah resolved to poking around her bowl, suddenly not wanting to eat a thing. Panji and Laz didn't look anywhere but at their own food, only daring an occasional glance at each other. "You could just talk to each other," the host suggested. "You are no longer enemies now that you are united before me. And the better you know each other, the better you can love one another." Sarah met Manuel's gaze, but quickly looked away. "I'm Sarah, and this is Laz and Panji," she said, nodding to her companions. Manuel grinned, and all three smiled back. So, what are some questions you've got? In today's allegorical story, we see a picture of the unity made possible through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. God's constant message throughout all of Scripture is that everyone who puts their trust in Jesus is able to have a personal relationship with Him. Prophecies in the Old Testament looked ahead to the day when Jews and Gentiles would worship together. And often, when the Old Testament talks about tables, it's looking forward to the Lord's table. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took bread and wine and gave them to his disciples, telling them to continue to do this together in remembrance of him. We are all invited to Jesus' table, no matter what we've done, because we're all sinners. So when we take the bread and the cup together, it's not only a reminder that Jesus has saved us from our own sins by dying on the cross in our place, but also that he unifies us with all believers. What can the Lord's table reveal about God's mercy and grace? How does it encourage us to view each other? The unity Jesus calls us to is impossible without his Holy Spirit. Thankfully, God has given the Spirit to everyone who has put their trust in Jesus. Consider taking a moment to pray, asking the Spirit to help you notice the ways you can partake in God's unified kingdom. This might look like praying for others, spending time with people who have different opinions and points of view, listening to others' unique stories, or confessing and repenting from judging or hating others. There's a lot more scripture that goes along with today's story, and you can find all of it in the Unlocked app or at unlocked.org. And as you and I can read in Romans 15:7, therefore, welcome one another, just as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. And dive into God's word for more in Isaiah 55, verse 1, Luke 5:29-32, and Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, to keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a resource from Keys for Kids Ministries. If you like today's story, how would you like to write for Unlocked? Connect God's story with any topic you see in the world. How does Jesus fit into what you're wondering about, writing about, or experiencing? If you're interested, check out our writer's guidelines at unlocked.org and tap Write for Us in the menu. And come back for tomorrow's devotion with Natalie. What counts as a real accomplishment in your life? Should that answer be based on just what other people think? But until then, I'm Dylan, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.